All right. It's Sunday night. It's January 7th, maybe? 7th or 8th? I'm not real sure. Let me take a look. It is January 9th. Oh, my gosh. Sunday, January 9th. I'm headed back to the exciting crash site. Some weeks are better than others. Going back out, this last week was interesting. It was on the very tail end of the big Christmas break. And so Lisa had to go to work earlier. She had to go to work on Monday, and I didn't have to go until Tuesday. And I don't hang around the house. When Lisa's not around, I just don't see the point. I don't think the guys really want me around, and I understand that. You know, dad's kind of a gritchy. I don't know if I'm gritchy, but anyway, you know, nobody wants me around, so it's like I went ahead and took off to Albuquerque and farted around for the most part. Went out to eat at Golden Corral, which was really quite pleasant. And this next week coming up, I got the same situation. It's Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And I get that day off. It's a holiday. And Lisa's got to go into school. And it's like, you know, she barely gets home at like 4:45. And I would be leaving at about 5 o'clock to go on to, you know, just to drive in the dark just to get to the crash site in time to get some sleep to go to work the next day. And it's like, I don't see the point in doing that either. So, anyway, I'll be probably pulling the same stunt next Monday. So, anyway, state conference is coming up. Elder Samuel Nemro is going to be, speaking at the Sunday afternoon session. He has to report to his mission president, who's our state president, President Blazer, and he's I don't know, he said he's already started kind of prepping for it. I said, I don't want to know what it's going to be about. Lisa wants to be able to do a run-through to make sure that it's okay and he's doing a good job. Probably trying to make sure that Sam does not sound so profoundly autistic as he sometimes does. When he just gets up to do his testimony sometimes, you really get a lot of the autism in there. Not that I care, you know? Number one, Sam's a good guy. You know, his heart's in the right place. He's willing to go out and do something. If you say, hey, Sam, come do something, he'll pop up and off we go. And he's very willing to volunteer. He's a great guy. You know, I want him to make some more temple trips because I want him to kind of hook up with... there is a lot of girls, sisters, younger sisters, who work at the temple, and it'd be really great if he was in a position to be able to interface with them a little more. You know, he's not, you know, Tom Selleck for ooh, you know. But he's a good guy. I like all my kids. always did. I think Shayna went off the deep end, and that's sad. But I like all my kids. I want good things to come for them. I wasn't given Brenna a hard time. I just said, boy, if I was in your shoes, I'd be grousing about the fact that I wasted my money going to South Korea and nothing was going on. She basically had to pay to sit in a hotel room for 14 days or however long she had to, you know, to quarantine. And then she finally got to where she needed to go, and it's like, so is she doing any work? And she goes, not really. I said, so it's the off-season. She says, are there any other people? It's the organization's called Woot? Woof, woof. It's kind of an organization of organic farmers, and you know, you kind of volunteer. They feed you, and they have a place to put you so you can sleep. You know, sometimes dormy-like. I think right now she's in kind of a dorm. It's empty though. She's the only one there, and you know, it's the off season. The farming is down to zilch because it's the winter time, and there's really not a whole lot going on. So she just kind of wakes up and they feed her, and I don't know what she really hasn't told us what she does during the day. Lisa tried to get something out of her, but that didn't work this time around. I don't know why. We called late. She was in a hurry. She was trying to get things pulled together to begin the day without us knowing what the day was really going to be about, which is kind of, you know, it's just like, well, you know, and she's 27. She doesn't have to. She's not in a position to have to tell us anything, you know. She's not there with our money. So, you know, but she's a great kid. And not a kid. She's 27 years old. She's doing good. She's a young women's president at the Taos Ward. And this is almost kind of a little, just a little break from the work she was doing with Earthships. You know, I'd love for her to get married. And who was I talking to? I think it was in ward council. Our ward councils are usually really stripped down and only maybe two or three people actually attend. They're really quite pathetic. And, but we try to have them just to say that we've had them, so we're not, you know, getting accused of not doing the meetings that are supposed to be done. Anyway, I forget the quip I did. People kind of chuckled and said, you know, it says, I want to encourage everybody, says, go after those wallflowers at the steak dances, you know, at the big regional things that they have for young singles. I said, go hang out with the wallflowers. I said, not a guarantee they're going to be fantastic, but, you know, if you don't feel like you're really the great pick of the litter, don't just write yourself off. I don't think I was really that big of a pick, but Lisa liked me when we were missionaries, and she came to look me up, and I'm really grateful that she did, because let me tell you, man, I am happy to be her husband. I'm glad she puts up with me, and she's got her stuff. can get grumpy and grinchy. That's just life. Life does that to you. But she shakes it off good, and I think she's a pretty happy sort. And I like her a lot. I love her. Everything about her. I don't have complaints about her. Anyway, so yeah, that kind of came up, and it was kind of like, do wildflowers, man. Find those girls and those guys that are kind of hiding on the sidelines, looking around, going, what am I doing here, and stuff like that, and say, strike up a conversation with them. Oh, we're trying to pull together. Lisa wants to make a trip to New Orleans, see the family, and just go and do some things in New Orleans that we really didn't have the ability to do before. The last time we went to New Orleans, we still had little kids, not all of them, but the vast majority of our kids were just little kids. And I want to be able to stay in a reasonably decent hotel. We're going to fly in, go to a reasonably decent hotel, and eat some food. Hopefully Lisa can do some of that Cajun stuff, although it's tough, man. It's tough for that gluten-free thing. I'm almost like, let's buy another bottle of the enzymes, Lee. Although she goes, that only makes it so that I'm not just in total wreck. She goes, I still have problems. It's like, oh, I feel for Lisa. This is so unpleasant. And the bad part is, it's not like it's life or death and she can just say, you know what, I'm going to die. No, it's all about pain and stuff like that. It's mostly avoiding pain. And Lisa's a sensitive. She's a sensitive to this stuff. And I feel bad for her because she can't hardly enjoy herself, because she's just got to eat the gluten-free fare, which is usually two or three items, and, tasteless. I don't know why gluten is so central to taste and stuff, but it must be. Because it is. I eat a lot of the stuff that Lisa eats for being gluten-free when I'm home. And it's I don't really have a sense of taste or smell particularly. Which means everything's just whatever. And it doesn't bother me. It's kind of tough on the kids, though. Lisa makes the food, and the boys try to eat it. Matt and Elder Sam, and poor Sam just ends up walking away sometimes. He was a real trooper this time around. Matt really didn't like. It was a sweet potato bisque. And it was interesting. Sam wasn't sure whether to call it a dessert or a it had elements of cinnamon and stuff like that, but it also had the normal, you know, it had some onion, it had some garlic, it had all the other stuff. Kind of a mix between a tomato bisque and pumpkin pie. And that's kind of how it was described in the book afterwards. Sam said, "See, I nailed it, I nailed it." And you go, "Yeah, you did." And he decided after he ate it that he kind of liked it. And he went back for some more. And it's like, wow. That's a big thing for Sam. Because usually he will just turn up his nose. And, you know, he'll find something else to eat. So, anyway, we'll see what else is going on. Yeah, I'm hoping to get Sam an opportunity, at least this week. I think it'd be really nice before he goes to give his talk in state conference, if he can go to the temple again. He enjoys going to the temple. And, yeah, it'd be great if he could go again. It's hard to go with me because it's either Tuesday late or Thursday late, and it does. I mean, it would get him home at nearly midnight. Not that he usually stays up till midnight, so I don't know if it's really that much of a challenge for him. Anyway, I remember before Brenna took off for, Jelaine took off for, what do you call that place? South Korea, that we had gotten the chance to go out and eat. Once. And, well, no, I think we went twice. I think we ended up going to another place, too. Golden Corral, maybe. Anyway, and met up with Elder Nemro and I to go a session at the temple, and it's nice. Everybody does a good job, and it's a wonderful experience that I get to share with my adult kids, and not very many of them, you know. Josh and Alejandra are far away, so we don't get the chance to do that very often. And when I went to Hawaii, I just never went over to the Laie Temple, which is a shame. I would have liked to have gone. Said, I haven't been to the Hawaii Temple once. Anyway, they're busy. But that was a neat experience. Okay, if you want to know where we are right now, we're just coming out of the Abo Ruins area. Between Mountain Air and the crash site. So, I'm about 20 minutes out from the crash site. My car, good old Sandy, is hanging in there pretty good. Some things got torn up on the car. In my first meeting with TK, and I haven't heard back from TK in a little while. I think he's got other things going. He was a little isolated out there at his place in Riley, New Mexico. And I went and visited him, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 times maybe. And spent some money because I had to, you know, I had to fix some tires and stuff like that. There's a lot of junk on that road, wires and stuff you pick up. Anyway, and there was some rainstorms, and he said, oh, don't come, and then it's like, and then he went off to the Rainbow meeting up in Taos, and I guess he ran into some friends or some people that he really liked, and I don't think he ever made it back to, I don't think he ever made it back to the place. Never really did. So, this is kind of the way it goes. And, I haven't been out there. I didn't really want to go out there unless I heard from TK. And he says, yeah, come on out, visit me. But I think he's changed his cell phone, and the last time I contacted him, he said, who's this? He said, oh, Jason, yeah. You know, he's a, he does the marijuana. I think that's about the hardest stuff he ever did, at least in when I was around him. And, you know, I don't know how good his memory really ends up being. But I got a few recordings with him, and I always wanted to show my gratitude. He saved me from being buried in the sand with Sandy on Rio. Lotto just upstream from Riley, and I was grateful. I got him a lot of gasoline to go in his vehicle, which was an interesting thing. He always had to, he had a couple of, he would charge him on his solar panels, and then he'd start his car with those. And an old Honda Element, Honda Element, and he pulled me out of the sand, which I was so grateful for. And I got him some gas and some gas containers, gas cans, and. When I come visit it, I bring him a burger or a hot dog or whatever he was kind of in the mood for. Just happened to run into each other a couple of times out at the Love's truck stop in Berlin. And then, I think he's taking off on another adventure. I don't know. I hope I was a positive thing for that. At least got him through some pretty tricky times. He's getting lonely out there. So yeah, he needed to kind of hook back up with his group. His old hippie. From the old days. He was a busker. You know, he had his guitar, good guitar player. And he would sing and busk and do that for his bread. And that was apparently his life. You can go back in the recordings and you can see where he did that. Now these recordings that I do don't usually make it to the to the Princess and the Priest and or the Priest podcast. It's not really a podcast, it's just recordings. And I haven't done one in quite a while. I don't know, and I don't know why. Lisa and I probably could have easily done one. Over the Christmas break, just never got to it. She's really very busy now. And, taking an hour out is tricky. Sometimes we do it on the road. I think there's some recordings that I've done that have Lisa on the road. But, you know, the sound quality of those is subpar. The ones that we do for the Princess and or the Priest recordings. I still do it on a cheap Chromebook, of course. Of course, Lisa's got a much nicer one. We should probably use that one in the future. But, and then we upload those to the actual Internet Archive account that I have. That's where people hear about those. Anyway. Out of the Manzano Mountain Pass here, the Mountaineer Pass. And headed down to the long slope going toward the Rio Grande River. The slide. I think that's a pretty appropriate thing to call it. Because it is, it's just kind of a slide down to the bottom here. And then we'll be at the crash site, and then I'll go to bed. It's 8:34 right now. I'll get there about 9, which is actually a pretty good time. I'm going to get some good sleep. Like I said, Tuesdays and Thursdays, go off to the temple. It's wonderful because, you know, I'm serving people and serving the Lord in a certain way. And it really breaks up the week nicely. So I'm not just, doing stupid stuff, and I just have to pay for the gas going back and forth, not too bad. And Tuesdays, it's kind of a Tuesday taco discount at Del Taco. I stop in Los Lunas and go get 2 or 3 tacos. That's kind of nice. And, yeah. I don't know if I need to start swearing off the popcorn I buy. I buy a pretty good, pretty big bag of popcorn once a week to kind of munch on the longer road trip. And of course, the trip back on Friday, like this time, I finally ate all my popcorn. Whoa, boy. I finally ate all my popcorn coming up on a Sunday. So sometimes it lasts that long. It's a pretty big bag. But yeah, I don't know. I'm, you know, it's probably got too much sodium and too much oil in it. It's probably not doing me much good. People talk about how good a snack food popcorn is because it's usually pretty low. You know, it's not fattening, it's not high calorie. If you don't dump butter on it, it doesn't have butter on it as far as I'm aware. Anyway, but yeah, I'm not so sure that that's the best thing to get. But everything I get ends up being vegetables, fruit, from things. I tend to live on a lot of bananas when I'm camping. Camp it during the week every week unless I'm on a vacation. Anyway, so everybody knows that. I don't know why I keep going over and going over it. Oh, I had a fun little thing, you know. Thursday or Friday, I'm thinking it was more Friday, really got a long way into a blog post, an essay of sorts, starting to build it up about trusting God and about how much people really indicate that they have far more trust in institutions or governments or things like that rather than the things they should have more trust in, which is God, who is eminently reliable. I think if nothing else, this COVID and things like that, and the Trump presidency, and the Biden presidency has proven to be just as bizarre. And hopefully it would impel more people to say, you know what, I don't want to put my trust in government. I don't want to put my trust in political leaders particularly. Anything like that, you know? Should put all your trust in God. And the big thing, it happened to come up, one of the elders, our full-time missionaries in Tucumcari, Elder Campbell, he spoke on trust, and I thought that was interesting. And while he was sitting there speaking, I said, you know what? You know, I have in the past, you've probably heard it a few times, that I'm always concerned that people have this preconceived notion of Jesus on a lot of levels. His behavior, his manner, you know, that he's just a big teddy bear and he just wants to spread love and all that stuff. And I've always said, well, you know, would you turn away from Christ if you found out he was obese? Would you turn away from Christ if you found out that he was kind of a businesslike person and not lovey-dovey, huggy, you know, stuff like that? People say, oh, well, what about the time when he was with the Nephites and he was showing them all of his wounds and he let them touch his wounds and all that? It says, yeah. It says, and, you know, that was part of helping them know that it was really him. That's important. And one is willing to, even if they're not very excited about that kind of behavior, that, you know, you'll do it. You'll maybe even just tolerate it to accomplish what needs to be done. I think it was somewhat prophesied that kind of an activity would happen. So he had to fulfill that. I don't know how he felt about it. I don't know if it was like, let's get this over with, okay? I just want to, you know, I'm here, thank you, you know, thank you for worshiping me, you know. I appreciate your expressions of gratitude and love. And it's not that he doesn't love you too, but sometimes, you know, it's not the gushing love that I think a lot of people have, a lot of hugging, a lot of crying. I'm not saying that he isn't like that. I'm just saying, if he's not like that, will you turn your back and say, this isn't the Christ that I pictured in my head? And that's the Christ people want. And people would say, oh, I'd never be like that. And you go, most of you guys are about that with God. A lot of people who drop out of the restored gospel, and a lot of people who just drop out of Christianity more generally, that's usually their biggest gripe. God isn't behaving the way I think God should behave. That's usually the biggest gripe. And it's sad, you know. Because I was sitting there, I was saying, you know what? I said, I would not be surprised if Heavenly Father, God the Father, came across like a Sicilian, like the Godfather, you know? And he's like, you know, hey, don't you appreciate what Jesus did for you? Jesus, come over here. Look at all these things he did. What, is that not good enough for you? I can totally see Heavenly Father and Jesus kind of being like that. And, you know, every kind of New York, Italian, Chicago kind of depiction of people you know, and you kind of go, well, shoot, would you have a problem if these guys came at you with kind of a Italian, I don't want to say mob family, but an Italian family vibe, you know, we are now bound together in the great, you know, we are brothers, you are now full part of the family, that kind of stuff, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. And, you know, and I can see trying reading scripture as if Jesus or Heavenly Father were a Sicilian. And the kind of, you know, it's all part of the family. No, we don't talk about that. You know, you have to prove your loyalty. The family, and you're like, oh my gosh, and you're going, oh, you know, and how people would feel about that, and you go, well, that's not my God, and you go, you know, you don't get to choose who your God is. God is simply God. You can say that something else is, but that's it will score you no points. And I've told people, I said, Lisa's the daughter of God. And you go, and, you know, I don't want to make Heavenly Father mad. So I try and treat his daughter really well. You know, if she wants to do something, it's part of my job to try to figure out how to make it happen. That's what she's all about. I'm thinking the people that live here for a while, I think they're gone. Yeah, I think they're gone. Well, you can't ever say anybody abandons anything. But the guys in the corner have... All the vehicles are gone. The place is dark. I don't think there's much going on there. I don't come down this road but once a week. I usually have a faster way to get out. It's a little tricky, but it's faster. And, you know, to be honest, this thing's a good... place is about 20 miles from Berlin, about 30 miles from Socorro, and you know, the people that live out here on their acre, if they bought two or three acres, it ends up being an interesting lifestyle. Cody, who's my neighbor, my closest neighbor, his wife, girlfriend, I'm not sure what her relationship is to him. Anyway. Apparently they've got a kid, because, or at least there's a kid there, because it's always important. They have to go and meet the bus, and I think the bus meets them at a certain corner. At 6 in the morning, and I've got to be, you know, if I'm not out a little bit before that, I've got to be careful, because there's a section of this road that's real sandy, and I'm afraid that if I stop, I'd never get through the sandy part, I get stuck, and so I'm really quite nervous about that thing. And Cody and I's acre is in a little valley. There was a guy, I forget his name now. Could have been Jeremy. They had a really nice, good-sized bus, a converted bus that they had brought out here, and they were working on some sandbag. They had a sandbag house. It was interesting because the bottom layers are sandbags, which I think are a good idea given the fact that when it does rain here, if it rains a lot, it just goes right through. It goes right through my greenhouse. You know, it goes right underneath one and goes right out the other side, downhill. I'm just passing right by their place now. They put up a little pallet shed and they had put up a fence. They put up a fence around their place. This all happened in this last year when I was out here too. At first, just the bus was out there with nothing around it. They put up a fence around it, and then they started working on first the sandbag. Actually, it's kind of sand tube construction, and then they put a couple of layers of straw bales. I thought that was an interesting way to do it. I probably would have, you know, I think more traditional would have been to put the straw bales at the bottom and put the sandbag on top. You know, I don't know. Sandbag's pretty heavy. Anyway, I've never seen people use those two in concert. Anyway, and they got it up to about roof height. They never put a roof on it. And then they, all of a sudden, and they were out there most evenings. I don't know if it turned into a summer project for them. It kind of they kind of started coming out when it warmed up, and then as soon as it started getting cold here, they kind of pulled up stakes, took the bus, and they were gone. No, I can see Cody in there a bunch. He's got his thing run. He generates electricity, so he's got a little generator, and he's got lights on at his place. I think he brings in his own water, kind of like I do. And then there's my place with the blister and with Reunion. My boats, my sailboat, and here we are. Anyway, it's not quite 9 o'clock. But it's a good time to stop. We're gonna take a look and see where we are. Turn everything off. Oh, let's see here. 47 minutes. That's not a bad recording. And didn't talk about anything where I feel the need to say, oh man, I gotta erase this. I didn't do that. So I'm feeling good. I want my kids to get into circumstances where they can find husbands and wives. That would make me very happy. So, and that's I think about the contribution that I can make. I think to do anything else is getting into it too much. And you know, the last thing I want is for my children to be resentful of our interference. Lisa, I think would love to get more involved, but you know.
Ultimately proved not so good. I'm just a bit here. The generator going all the way. That's my neighbor. Oh, and the moon is at half phase. Yeah, it's pretty light out here.
Very easily see the light and all that. Anyway, so I'm gonna go ahead and turn this thing off. And go to the bathroom, and I'm getting bad. And, let me tell you, just here in December, I think, I got a bedroll. You know, I've been using just old sleeping bags from camping, mostly backpacking sleeping bags, which means they're really not all that tough for when it gets really cold. Lisa's always very, very concerned about me being too cold and something bad happening to me. So I got a better bedroll. She feels better. It's a nice one, but it's definitely not for backpacking. It's definitely for camping. So, anyway, okay. I think I need to stop. So, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.